Thank you for joining us for this Sunday School session. For more information, visit our website at www.graceprovidencechurch.org.
First letter of John, chapter 2, verses 24 to 29. Someone can help me reading this passage.
As for you, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him.
Such an amazing passage, and I have to say that when John writes, I heard one of the preachers saying that it can be that in a baby can swim in, or an elephant can sink in and drown. So basically, it's so deep that it can be read right at the surface. And we can go through the surface and still have some understanding. I would like to put it this way. When we get invited to go into a swimming pool in a potty, in New Day swimming pool, it has different depths. So it has an area for little kids where they can be safe. And it's right at the surface. There is another area where if you wanted to swim and not being able to stand and just float, then your physical abilities will keep you afloat. You can get into it. But there is also another area where you can dive in. And without putting yourself in danger of hitting the floor. So when John writes, he's setting up this pool where everyone, without a doubt, can dive in and enjoy and rejoice and read and spend time. Because passages like this is easy to understand for a new believer, but it's so deep that it's also very challenging for theologians. I also heard that a theologian spent as much as a year and a half making a thesis when he was studying in a seminary in one verse. And I went like, I understand that because I've been through it. When you read a verse and you stop, and the Holy Spirit tells you to stop and reflect and think and investigate, read more about the Bible, and then reinforce the thought, and it will illuminate you, telling you the route that you should take by reading that passage. I mean, let's take this as a word of introduction, but it's important to understand that it's an amazing reading with different depths. Without going into like the diving portion of it, where divers can go for hours into it. And that's what I was talking about, this pastor making a thesis in only one verse. Today we're going to be going through readings. I will have you guys help me with not only Bible reading, but also answering questions. This is a pop quiz. Most of the answers are yes and no. It's going to be simple, nothing complicated. I want you to be comfortable. No, not really. It's challenging. Comfortable in the surface. But we will dig in. Does anybody have heard the term horticulture? Can someone tell me What is horticulture? Steve?
The science of growing things.
Science. Okay. Now we know that it's a science of growing things. Somebody else? Well, I will add something. In a dictionary, horticulture is also considered an art. Art and science, both of them, of growing plants specifically. The reason why I bring this up is because we are going to abide. And the word abide, we're going to address that because we heard it as many as 5 times on this passage. So it's very emphatic. And the reason why I bring this, and I want to kind of like make it a little easier, it's a farmer. Farmers practice horticulture. And I needed to say that if we stay on that particular thought of horticulture or a farmer, we're going to continue through the next 20-30 minutes in that analogy. And the reason why I say this is because we are going to read things in parallel passages that go along the farmer or the work of the farmer. What does a farmer do specifically? Can someone tell me?
He takes care of the soil where he's growing produce and plants.
Perfect. I mean, the beginning of it, he just said it. Takes care of the soil. And that will be the beginning of our parallel passages with this verses that we just read. And I want to tell you that we're going to be talking about certain things, important things. One of them is the term abide. We're going to be reading about the importance of the Word of God because we heard it. We're going to talk about the assurance and the confidence. We're going to talk about the false teaching. We're going to talk about the anointing. And also righteousness. And another thing that I can add in here is on the last verse, which is reassurance. Not only assurance, but reassurance. So why we don't start by first going into the first verse that it's in there. It's let. In verse 24, it says, as for you. By the way, as for you is not on the original. So it starts only you. It makes an emphasis in you. The one that is receiving the message. So let. Now you let. As for you, let. Let is a verb. And it's an imperative mood. I started to become aware, or I became aware, that it's really important to put attention to the tenses of the verbs that we use. Because otherwise we might deviate on the understanding. We don't get it. And like for me, having English as a second language, it's also more important. Otherwise, I will not get the concept of the sentences. But here on the biblical teaching takes more importance than anything else. Now, because it's imperative, it's a command. It's not a choice. It's a command. And it means allowed. Not prevent and not forbid. So if that is a command, we have to take in consideration that whatever we cannot forbid or prevent and we have to allow, it's important because it's a command. And what is what we are supposed to allow? It's to abide. So abide means remain, stay, lodge, and endures. What are we talking about right here? Comes from the Greek meno. And meno, it's so important because it's making a residence. When abide, when we live something abiding us, it's making a residence. It's going to have to be part of our daily living, part of our understanding, and it's going to have to sink on the right place. As you can see, John uses more than 60 times this term abide. It's one of his favorite words. And he used it in reference of many things. The truth that resides in believers, the true believers abiding in the world, the Spirit abiding in believers, and believers abiding in Christ. And the term in Christ is Paul's favorite. One of his favorite words. It's in Christ, in Christ. So then John started to make a parallel with Paul's style of writing, and he used 25 times that term in that parallel in two books, on the first and second chapters, I meant to say, not books. And he says 25 times in 18 verses. And there we have 18 verses, and it's in Christ, in the light, Word God's abiding you, and in Christ, and emphasize in Christ, making a parallel to his favorite abide word with Paul's in Christ favorite words. What is going to abide in us? What you heard from the beginning. First, we need to define which beginning is the beginning at conversion. In this particular case, we're talking about the moment when we have been converted. In that moment, we started hearing. There is a teaching from the Holy Spirit that it's the ministry. It starts right there, but we're going to get to it a little later in verse 27. But what is what we heard, and by the way, you can see the verb heard, it's in past tense. So it's something that happened, and is what we heard is the gospel. The apostle teachings. Sound doctrine. And the word of God. It is also important to note that hurt comes from the human teaching. It's not, in this particular case, that the Holy Spirit will teach us all, and we're going to get into that a little bit. But it's so important to have preachers and teachers to open up the Bible and explain to us and teach us and help us. Because, it doesn't matter how intelligent, how prepared, or how educated we are not that. We're not there yet. We will never get to on ourselves to understand the Scripture completely without having the guidance of teachers and preachers. Those are gifts that the Lord has given to people among us on churches. I have a couple questions. That is so important. The Word of God is so important, but I have a couple questions. Can someone be safe without the Word of God?
No.
Correct. And I will anticipate in practical application in our times. This question should apply in our times. Can someone be saved without receiving the Word of God? The answer is no. Can someone follow Christ apart from the Word of God?
Yes.
How will they know Christ? How we will know Christ if no one is coming to tell us about Christ from His Word? Okay. That is a no. We need to be preached the Word of God. We need to be preached the gospel.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Thank you. Romans 10:14. And we're going to get into that for the importance of the word of God and the importance of the teaching and the importance of the gifts. Can someone be as strong in the faith apart from the word of God?
You're slanting these questions. Let's back up to question number three. What are the monks and the priests doing? Are they following Christ apart from the word of God?
They follow Christ according to the word of God.
Yes, but most of them are not genuinely believers.
Absolutely.
So you can follow Christ apart from the word.
From the word.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. And that is why it's so important, because remember, these letters are sent so that they understand that there is a heresy among them, that someone is coming to teach a dualism, to take people away from the truth. And because of that, they needed to be, or they needed to abide in Christ. Yes, Eugene?
I'm thinking of like the Jehovah's Witnesses, right? And the Mormons. They follow Christ.
Their Christ, yes.
But it's a different Christ. It's not Christ. The same Christ.
Exactly.
And it is apart from the word.
It is apart from
the monks truth. And the priests are following a church tradition more than they are the word of God. Because if they read the word, they wouldn't be a monk in the first place.
Yeah, they're following the traditions of men.
Right.
That is correct.
So it is a no. We're back to no.
It's a no. Okay. It's a no, because when we say the word of God, we're talking about the word of truth, or the truth word of God. And nowadays we have hundreds of churches among us. I mean, we go through places in the street that we're driving, and there is churches that are preaching Jesus. But it's not the true Jesus, the biblical Jesus, the Son of God.
Yeah.
They're a prosperity gospel. I mean, how can they claim to be on the light and they walk in darkness? Going back to that analogy we have started with horticulture and talking about the farmer. Remember the parable of the sower? Pastor Ed expanded on it and talked about the four soils. Verse 5, along the road. Verse 6, in a rock with a very thin surface of dust or soil. Verse 7, among the thorns. Verse 8, on good soil. We're not going to reread those, but the important part comes after, when Jesus expanded it and talks about it. Can someone read from verse 9 to verse 15 for me?
His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worldly riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance.
Thank you. We have to make an emphasis on verse 15. And it's because we see what we are trying to grasp from our verses from 24 to 29 on the second chapter. But the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard. Once again, past tense. They heard. What did they hear? The word. And in honest and good heart. And hold fast. And bear fruit with perseverance. I have to say, going back to what we were talking about the farmer and the soils, it is our duty to prepare and to abide and to let the Word of God abide in us, to prepare our heart so that our heart is good and honest. Because we heard the Word of God. The Word about it is so simple, and it gives us a little glimpse of what we needed to do, but there is a big, important task that we have to do. And we abide in the Word of God. And allow, it's abide, the Word of God, to live in our lives, direct our thoughts, and actually be on the steering wheel of our lives. Now, the importance on that is because the Word of God is so, how can I say this? It apparently say that it's very hard. But the deeper we get into the Word of life, of the Word of God, and we allow the Word of God to steer our life, to control our thoughts, it's on the daily basis where we are going to actually know that we've been not only regenerated, but also changed. Many people say that, I had a friend, his name was Jay, and he used to call him after that New Jay. And we knew him for New Jay. And I asked him one day, why New Jay? Oh, this is a New Jay. It's not the same one. We see that the Word of God obviously is started changing, and we are the first one to notice that change in our life. Other people will notice. Other people will actually come to us, and if they are close to us, they will say, you're different. It is the Word of God in our lives. We have to actually keep reading the Word of God, but more important than just memorizing verses is apply the Word of God in our daily behaviors, in our daily living, in our daily habits, and that will actually give us the conviction, a conversion to the point where we feel compelled not to sin. It's not that we're not going to sin at all. That is not possible. But we are going to be sinning less and less. And when we sin, the Holy Spirit will not allow us to enjoy that sin. Will actually convict us. And that is the difficult part, is that we don't want to be comfortable with sin. Habitual sin. It's probably the worst place where we can live. Continue sinning because sin is against God. And that is the importance of allowing what we heard from the beginning. Abide. Where? In our heart. In our behavior. Not only the facade, not only how we try to be good only for a few hours or maybe a day or maybe just Sunday when we come to church. Why? Because that's when I see my brothers and sisters, so they need to see the best part of me. And then when we get up out there, then we found ourselves and like hopefully nobody saw me what I did. So we don't want to get to that point, and that's why it's important to be fixed, focus, and stay reflecting and reading the Word of God. That's why the emphasis on verse 15 that we read, it's so important. There is a warning. if the now remember this warning comes because of the dualism of the teaching of the heresy. The Gnosticism. Just keep the warning. Verse 25, before we get to the warning, it's so important. This is the promise which he himself made to us. Himself. Jesus Christ. And it's eternal life. And the reason why he's mentioned right here, eternal life, is because by abiding in him and allowing the word of God to abide in our lives, is not going to gain the favor of God for salvation. We abide in Christ because we are saved, not because we want to be saved. And that has to be very clear. Because there is many Christians, quote unquote, that do good deeds and they claim to abide on the word of God, or the word of God abide in them because they wanted to retain salvation. They might lose salvation. No, salvation is being secure. The debt is paid. Christ, Jesus Christ paid on the cross and paid it once. So that's settled. It's not in. It's not compromised whatsoever. That is why it says right here in verse 25, and it's more evident that it's going to be a questioning of the dualism, denying the deity of Christ, and even though denying the Trinity. After this, the warning comes, and it's gonna be very emphatic. But eternal life, it's secure. The warning, these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. I mean, all of this, what it says, what it said, and it's coming, it's because there is a false teacher and a false teachers in teaching that is trying to deceive you. They're not just members of church that are coming to us with different ideas. It's not like they're legitimate in making a mistake. That it's definitely a teaching that it's coming to deceive us. And we see it in many churches. I mean, the prosperity gospel comes to preach from the word. It's good to our ears. We want it to be wealthy. We want it to be healthy. And we want it to live our best life today, right? I mean, they're saying what they have on their heart is hollow. And those are the type of teachings that are actually these days among us in our society. And he's giving us the warning. It's giving us an option. The truth of the word of God or what's false. Leading astray. Take us away. Separate us. There is four verses that talks about the false messiahs, the false teachers, the false prophets. Can someone read the first one for me?
For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect.
Can someone read the next one?
I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them.
Next one.
Watch out for false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves.
We're going to take this one, Matthew 7:15, and expand on the following verses because it's important for our analogies and practical applications of where we're trying to grasp on this passage. Can someone read Peter 2:1?
But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves.
Yeah, these heresies are not just you know, church members that don't have right understanding. They're prepared. They know what they're doing. They purposely get into churches to destroy, to take us away from the truth. And that's why we have to be aware. We're going to read, go back to our passage, and we're going to try to put together what we read in on the security of eternal life in verse 26, and we're going to read verse 27. As for you, again, it started the same way that verse 24 starts, as for you, not on the original, but as you. Now, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you. There is the word abide again. And you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you for about all things, teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. And the emphasis on abide keeps coming and coming and coming. Now, I want to say something really special about this verse 27, and I wanted to tell you what he means, and I wanted to tell you also, be careful, let's not interpret this the wrong way. Because when I read this to someone, they brought it out immediately, and I went like, if I take it the wrong way, it might take me there. So I became aware of that. The anointing which you receive from him abides in you. And this is the tricky part. And you have no need for anyone to teach you. Really? So that means if someone comes to me and say, hey, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be on a Sunday school setting. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will teach me. All I need to do is believe in Christ, and the Holy Spirit will give me everything and will teach me everything. In fact, some others probably think that they can learn a profession because the Holy Spirit will teach them. That's false. God has anointed preachers, teachers, the apostles, the prophets, even anointed Jesus Christ on his humanity. And we're gonna talk about it. But the anointing in this particular case is the Holy Spirit teaching. It's the teachings of the Holy Spirit.
There are so many cults and sects that are based on one sentence.
That is absolutely true. So now we know that this is talking about the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And when is that starting? The day of conversion. At that moment. Because we've been convicted, we accept Jesus, we receive Jesus on our heart, the Holy Spirit takes his place in our heart, lives and abides in us, and the teaching starts right there. At that moment. How long it lasts? The rest of our lives. Here. Until we get home. Now, it is also teaching on the Holy Spirit, shining and giving us discernment of the truth from day one. Said that. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you remembrance and all of them, I said to you. Kings were anointed. We know that on the Old Testament with oil so that they have the wisdom and discernment in how to lead the nation. The high priest, it's also been anointed. So that they can perform the sacrifice. So they perform the sacrifices on the temple. Prophet Isaiah, Can someone read Isaiah 61:1?
Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted.
That's a beautiful passage. In fact, Jesus Christ quoted that passage. In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord, it's upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So that's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. But it's important that the human teaching of the gospel arrives. And we read that in Romans 10:14 and 15. Can someone read verse 16?
I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Can we keep on going?
Yes, please.
That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you.
And there is a beautiful part that says that we'll stay forever. And that forever means for the rest of our existence on this world. Until we get home, it said. This last two verses of our passage today are full of understanding, especially because the intriguing that we went through on what it was, the Holy Spirit or the teachers preaching. And teachers of the Word of God. Can someone read verse 28 and 29 for me?
Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him.
On this passage, we have, Eugene and I actually had a brief conversation talking about two conditional statements that we found, one in verse 24 and this one right here. If you know that he is righteous, then you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. And there is no other book, by the way, that it speaks about resurrection more than John. But John speaks about resurrection deeply. And when he talks about the little children, it's not like he's taking those like immature Christians. It's just he was around 90 years old by the time he was writing this letter. And that's a way for him to show love to the readers. That's a very lovely way to address them. I mean, I talk to my nieces and nephews, and I call them mijo, which is my son. But they're not my son or my daughter. But I call them mijo, mija. But that's a dear, you know, I love them, and I treat them that way. And that is how the Apostle John actually is talking to the little children. But now there is also the abide in him. Again, that's a command. And in this part right here, it's important. Why do we need to abide in him and allow the Word of God to abide in us, in our heart? So that when he appears, we might have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Now remember that shrinking away brought me to creation when Adam and Eve were in paradise. And they were naked. And they were happy. They didn't became aware of their nakedness. And they were in paradise going everywhere. Until they sinned is when they noticed that they were naked. And what did they do when the Lord arrived and called them? They hide. And they hide And God called him and said, where are you? Now sin make them go away and hide and be afraid and ashamed. So we better be prepared for this, so that we Christians, those that know and the ones that have heard and the ones that left and the ones that don't know Christ and don't understand who Christ is, and they have received, and their soil was so shallow that they actually did not took any root on the Word of God, they shrunk. That's what it says. Be confident and not shrink away from Him in shame. So that is a big reason why we abide on the Word of God, and we abide in Jesus, and we allow the Word of God to take root in our life, to lead us, to guide us. I told you about Matthew 7:15 and the second part. Once again, there is a warning, and we read it a couple minutes ago. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Can someone read verse 16, 17, and 18 for me?
You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. The good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit.
Remember horticulture? Remember the farmer? Remember we prepare our heart, our mind, like the fourth soil, which is make it good soil, make it fertile, and prepare for the Word of God to take place. Well, we continue with the same analogy, and now we're seeing that they will be known by their fruits. So that is a very unique connection in between the fruit on any tree and the roots. And also planted in good soil. So now we prepare the soil in our heart to receive the Word of God, take roots into our lives, turn into a good tree that will produce good fruit. Why? Because good trees will produce good fruits and cannot produce bad fruits. Or the other way. Even a bad tree planted in good soil will not produce good fruits whatsoever. That is not going to happen. That's why I mentioned to you that we have to abide on the Word of God and abide in Christ. And the beauty of this is that it's not that it's reciprocal. It's not that if I abide in the Word of God, then Christ will abide in me. We do it because we've been saved and it's secure. This particular verse in John 15:5 opened up a new chapter for me to continue reading, and I will have an opportunity to be with you guys for 2 weeks. And I'm going to let you just with this and ending with this because I think it's so beautiful. And we'll catch up on this one on the month of July, if I am not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Continue with the same analogy. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we rest in Christ. We are a branch that is resting on a good tree. And the more we abide and the Word of God, we will be known by our fruits, good fruits, because that is consequentially what is happening in our life.
Thank you for joining us for this Sunday School session. For more information, visit our website at www.graceprovidencechurch.org.